You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Talkin' Cop. We're here for another full-time match reaction. Liverpool have just absolutely put the boots to the poor Sparta Prague. Finishes 6-1 at Anfield, 11-2 on aggregate. We're through to the quarterfinal. I'm joined, as always, by Kev O'Sullivan. And for the first time ever, a favorite from the chat, at least a favorite of mine. I won't speak for everybody else, but the local provider of all the quotes and statistics for us. Joining us on screen, Ashley L., all the way from Boston. Ashley, in a Boston sense, how'd you like them apples?
I mean, it was quite the game to have a debut on. I can't imagine they're always like that.
No. They have been kind of lately, actually, Kev. You know, we've been having a pretty good run of it here the last few.
Well, you think about it, ever since the Arsenal game, we've been pretty relentless. Scoring goals, though, it's tonight was all about getting minutes and legs. Sunday's in everyone's mind, we all know that. But getting minutes and legs, giving a bit of form to players who need it. I think those players that finished the game that probably didn't expect to finish it. But all in all, look, 11-2 on aggregate, 6-1 on the night. A strong-ish lineup he put out. Atmosphere. Mental. It's like, if you're not entertained by that, you know, what can you say? You know, yeah. We're into the last eight of the Europa League. It's not a formality by any stretch. You know, there's a lot of people jumping ahead like, yeah, the final's in Dublin. We're going to Dublin and it's like automatic. There's some decent sides left in this yet. So I think we'll have to work a lot harder against the next few opponents than we did against Sparta Prague. Let's put it that way.
I mean, if we don't have to work harder, then that's saying something for whoever we could potentially get in the next round, because they were a bit shit, Ashley. Were you expecting, I mean, even before the first leg, you would have thought we'd get more of a game than that, but after 5-1 at their place, did you think that maybe they'd come with a slightly different mindset, or were you expecting the same end-to-end?
I mean, I expected them to keep their game plan, which was very aggressive and left them really open at the back, but not quite that open. I mean, they at least made a game out of the last one. There were a few good shots, and I mean, this was just all one-way traffic. And I wasn't expecting them to be this bad.
Yeah, it did not go well for them. I mean, getting on to the lineups, it was, I was on this morning. I was lucky enough to be on the 30 with Gav this morning, and we did our requisite football talk and tried to pick a team. And even though we both told each other that it's going to be stronger than we think, it ended up somehow being even stronger than we had thought this morning. So Kelleher in goal, obviously, Bradley and Robertson at right back, Gomez and Kwanzaa in the middle, From my reckoning, somebody asked in the Telegram before the game started how many, if Gomez had played center half this year, and I was only able to come up with two matches that he played at center half. I believe it was Villa after Virgil got his red card, and away to Toulouse in the champion, or home to Toulouse in the Europa League earlier this year. So a fairly rare start at center half for Joe Gomez. Midfield of Szoboszlai, Endo, and Clark, which I think Gav actually got correct. And then up front, full power, Salah, Darwin Nunez, Cody Gakpo. Gav, that had to surprise you. I mean, you were expecting strong, but that's quite strong, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It was good to see Joe Gomez, after being called up for England, getting the nod at centre-back. We've seen him play everywhere, but, you know, at the end of the day, you look back to when he was probably at his best was when he was partnering Virgil as centre back, and he's what, 21, 22 then. And yeah, no, I was happy enough. I expected a lot more out of them. I genuinely did. I knew the score was 5-1. They're not pegging this back. But at the same time, I knew that we had players that needed minutes. Szoboszlai definitely. Salah 100% needed to. It's all what you can train as much as you like, but that's his, first start since before AFCON? He needed the game time. Wasn't surprised to see Darwin start. Cody surprised me. Didn't expect him to start. Delighted to see Bobby Clark start. Endo, again, another one. Thought, did he really need to start? But because I expected a bit more out of them, and the fact that in the last round they pulled off a really big result against Galatasaray. And Galatasaray had spent good money, you know, in the summer. So, and they're not mugs, like. So, I think it was the best all round, really, when you look at it, because you're throwing in some kids, some younger players, less experienced. Bobby Clark getting his European home debut for a start. You want him to come into a side with some more experienced players around them, to give them the best chance. So, yeah, I was happy enough with it. And Klopp was pains to point out in his press conference about momentum and keeping players ticking over, just keeping them fresh. And I think that's what we saw throughout, really. You know, even with the changes, it was like playing enough and just keeping momentum going. I mean, they've got one more game now, the FA Cup the weekend. Did they all go away for international duty? Come back and we'll see where we are then, like. But no, I was surprised, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it's always nice to see us getting bodies back, because we've got a fairly large match coming up on a fairly important day, considering that this is a mostly Irish-based podcast. And I guess Ashley being in Boston, that's pretty much
Irish adjacent.
Yeah. There's a little bit of American-Irish in Boston there. It didn't take long. My notes started with just don't concede early. And within 2 minutes, they have a corner. And 5 minutes later, actually, it's 1-0. And
then it was more.
Yeah, I mean, this one wasn't Sparta shooting themselves in the foot. Like, I believe the second and third goals really were examples of. We were actually starting to build up possession. They have that early corner. Then we get our foot on the ball and we start putting pressure on it. The ball looks like it's going to run out of play. Mo tracks it down, brings it back in, plays in Szoboszlai. And just the look between Szoboszlai and Darwin Nunez. Darwin Nunez identifies the space in the box, cuts his run off, gets into the open space. Szoboszlai sees him. It's a lovely pick out. Not a great strike from Darwin Nunez, but that's it then, right? Yeah, I mean, 6-1 aggregate. Crack the cans.
I mean, I'm glad that he got that goal, because he missed a fair few afterwards, which we won't hold against him. But that's 17 goals for the season for him and 5 in Europa. So he's not slouching this season at all. It's a pretty impressive return for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the beauty about that goal was where he identified, like you said, where the space was. So Szoboszlai has the vision to pick out the pass. But if you go back to the start, they tried that low corner from the very start. Do you remember a similar thing to City? They tried that low one. And our first corner, we took it short. I was like, why? I thought it was a bit weird. But from that, the pressure just built and built and built. It was a really well-taken goal, and it was like collective. Now we can just sit down and relax and enjoy the game. There are no surprises in this. It's just going to be a case of, that's the perfect start. Yeah. You know, considering the amount of games that we've done all season, we're like slow starters. We'll be cagey for the first 10, 15 minutes, see how they go. We'll watch how they set up, and we'll go off that. Nah, none of it. This is probably the fastest start I've seen us have since the Arsenal game at Anfield a good few years ago now. Yeah. That was relentless.
It was so quick. I don't know about either of you. Did you two see the second goal live? Because I was watching. No, I don't know if anybody in the world that wasn't in that stadium saw the second goal live, because they thought they had all the time in the world to show a nice replay of Darwin Núñez sweeping the ball in. And it turns out that it's just a relentless, relentless press. Somebody had said in here in the chat that Darwin Núñez was a pressing monster. Just the four goals coming completely from the work of Darwin Núñez. Darwin and Mo put the pressure on them. They could not cope with it. And this is the part that I thought they would have learned. Like I said it after the first leg match to you, Kev, in the post-match, that we brought a level of press that there's no way they're used to, that they've never seen anybody press like we're going to be able to press. And they got stung, and they got stung bad. You would have thought that they'd be like, let's not be that naive, complacent, stupid, suicidal. But no, they did. And the ball falls to Bobby Clark. And Kev, you talk about a guy getting his first goal for the senior team. I mean, he scored in preseason, but pretty much anybody can have that accolade to it. But to actually score in a competitive match for Liverpool, only his fourth start for the senior team, and deserved on the balance of his performance tonight.
Look, this kid reeks of Adam Lallana. Absolutely reeks of him. And he's Johnny in the right spot all the time. You know, he's just got this, I don't know how you describe it, whether it's built in just a sense of awareness of anticipation of where the ball's going to be or where he needs to be. He was ridiculously good. The pressing was brilliant, but it's a goal that we deserved, and they had every chance in the world to not concede that type of goal. It was absolutely stupid. And at the end of the day, it was a brilliant finish. And you take it, you're 2-0 up. And then for me, it's like you start thinking, okay, this could get ugly. If they carry on playing like this, and this has to fall on their manager. You cannot do this again. There's certain sides that you can't do this against, and we are one of those sides. You have to go long. You have to be direct. It's not my dog.
That's mine.
That dog sounds... All right. My dog is a 7-year-old Staffy. If Ashley's dog sounds like Chutoy.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Oh, bless him. No, but I love how you lot in the chat said, let the dog out. You lot are horrible. Horrible people.
I'm glad
because they thought it was you, Kev. There's no way they were going to be that mean to Ashley on her very first time doing the show. They were definitely picking on you again. They're taking lessons off of Phil Casey. I'm telling you.
I know.
Just bullies there.
Tell me about it.
We've got our first Ashley L quote of the night, and it comes in perfectly with I'm coming to you on this one, Ashley, because Bobby Clark returns the favor for Mo Salah. The press works again about 120 seconds after we made it 2-0. The ball falls to Mo Salah. Left foot curls it into the net. Number 20. 3-0.
Yeah. I mean, his record is ridiculous. And, you know, like the quote says, only Rush has more. For a one-season wonder, he produces and continues to produce. And I know that, you know, sometimes we offhandedly talk about him moving on, but like, he's still at a level that I think he can stay at this club for a few more years. I don't want to see him leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm certainly in that boat that there's nothing that I've seen from Mo Salah. I mean, he's picked up his first muscular injury that's kept him out for any amount of time this season. He's got really no history of injuries, but he has an incredible, incredible history of scoring goals. I think his fewest is, what, 23 in a season? In the Champions League winning year, I think he had 23 only 23. It's something to behold, and he looked up for it tonight. Like Mo Salah to me, Kev, looked like he wanted to get back into the groove of things, because he was popping up all over and playing some absolutely fantastic balls.
Yeah, he was. I think there was definitely there was some rust in there, but some of his vision for some of the passes that he played that didn't quite come off. You can tell it won't take much to get there. The pressing. I mean, at the end of the day, the triggers for the pressing are always there. It's you can see it with Mo. It's muscle memory. It was literally bang bang. This is when he goes, I go, and then he follows, and he didn't have to think about it. It didn't matter who he was playing with. It was just, this is the spot I'm on the pitch, and bang, he goes. And it just got better and better and better. I mean, it was 1-2 and then 3. You know, I defy anyone in the chat to come up with a start where we're 3 goals and up inside 10 minutes in a European game of any description. It just doesn't happen. You know, and again, this all comes from the press. You go back to the second goal, and you think they learned, but they didn't. They just went and did the same thing again, and it was just a different variation, but the end result was the same. And it was a lovely finish from all. He could have put it anywhere he wanted to, but all that came from Bobby Clark. You know, again, the kid is, this is his fourth game, and he just knows where to go, knows where to be. Muscle memory thing. What can you say?
Yeah, it bodes well for Sunday. I mean, he's pretty much a nailed-on starter now for the trip to Man United, which is good because he quite likes a goal against Manchester United. And I mean, 2 minutes after we make it 3-0, Gakpo puts in a back post cross that Darwin Nunez, I don't know if he just misjudges the flight of the ball. He can't quite get up for it. Skims off the top of his head. And he just kind of falls down on the ground, and he's just laughing to himself. And he's prescient to the nth degree, because less than 2 minutes later, it's 4-0. And I mean, I wrote down that Endo won the ball, Ashley, but they really just kicked it to him. I mean, it was such a poor ball out from the back. They kick it right to Endo, who I've now just, anytime there's a scrap in the midfield, I just go, get him, Endo, get him. Like he's related to Ashley's dog. Like he's just got this terrier instinct about him in the middle of the park that makes me so happy to watch. But he plays the ball to Mo. It doesn't quite get there. The left back for Sparta Prague kind of gets a foot on it. Darwin gets to that loose ball, plays it out to Mo Salah. Mo crosses it in. And actually, that's kind of Gakpo's goal. Just kind of back post, standing there waiting for Mo to cross it to him, and he taps it in. But brilliant for him, because out of all the people on the team, he probably needed a goal the most, wouldn't you say?
I'm happy for him. I mean, everyone's been giving him so much stick just about, and rightfully so. Like, he's looked really tired. He's looked like the system hasn't quite suited him. You know, we've been really counter-pressing, and I think Nunes has really stood out, but I think Gakpo, I don't know, like those little intricate passes and those crosses across the net are kind of his bread and butter, and we haven't really seen that. I think a lot of our kind of attacking movement has been really Nunes chaotic-esque, and that doesn't really strike me as what Gakpo's thing is. But yeah, I mean, you could see he was hungry. You could see even, I mean, I'm glad he got the second, which was classy, and I don't want to jump ahead, but like, he was hungry throughout the whole game, and he wanted that hat trick, and everyone wanted it for him.
Yeah. It just, it wouldn't end up falling for him in the end, Kev, but We still looked hungry, I would say, pretty much for the entirety of the first half. Like, we didn't really take our foot off the pedal. I mean, Gomez played a Van Dijk-esque long ball that Mo Salah has just the most insanely perfect touch for. He brings it down. He can't quite get the ball to Szoboszlai to fall for him just quite right. And then in the 35th minute, we have the obligatory Darwin Nunez awful miss. It's not a good one. It's for a guy with what he's got 17 goals now this season. He's probably going to finish, 20 plus goals for Liverpool this season. He is going to have an incredibly hilarious low light reel of his misses, because
it would have been a ridiculous assist. The assist would have been ridiculous because he volleyed it back on his right foot. And Darwin gave the thing that he thought it bounced off the ground and it just got he couldn't get over the ball. And at the end of the day, I just thought it looked like for that period of the half, it was definitely too easy. It was too lax. You're Szoboszlai trying Hollywood passes, and they were all at it. They were all doing it. It's unfair to name Szoboszlai, but they were all doing it. And they were all just like, this is a dotto. And all they had to do was literally just play it properly. And we could have had 6, 7, 8 in the first half. But yeah, he still has to score that. He should be scoring that. He does his usual though. He just brushes it off and just goes again. He doesn't care, doesn't care in an effect. Not like he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He doesn't let it affect him. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, he's got that amazing attitude of like, oh, I'm gonna get the next one. Not like that was my chance. I'm not gonna score again. He's like, no. Give it to me again. Give it to me again. I'm going again. And it's like a minute later, Mo plays another just incredible pass. The Sparta keeper, who I thought was much better in this game. Like, if he played the same way he played in the first leg, this game would have hit double digits. Like, he played much better tonight. He's rapid getting off of his line. He closes it down before Darwin can get there. Almost immediately after that, Mo tees up the ball. Bobby Clark, I believe he nutmegs their center half in the area, runs around past, absolutely leathers the ball, and it's another good save from the Sparta keeper.
Yeah, I love that, where he dropped the shoulder and he just like faked the shot and got into a really good angle, and just it was a good save. I think their keeper probably pulled off 3, maybe 4 very good saves you'd expect the keeper to make, let's be fair, but there's still saves that had to be made. And like I said, on another night, Clark gets a brace, maybe 3. Darwin definitely gets a couple, and Gakpo has an easy hat trick. It was I just loved the fact that this kid, he tries it. He sees the opportunity to try it, and he tries it. Most players would have taken the shot early and taken it, running onto it first time. No, he just takes a touch to get into a better position. Bang. And it didn't work out for him this time, but the bravery to even try it in the first place is exactly what you want.
Yeah, it's not being bleeding from the hand after a cat bite. I do have to say, it is quite enjoyable when the chat gets on a dog themed joke fest going on here. So it's absolutely brilliant. Ashley, we cannot confirm nor deny that she killed that dog, but as somebody that carries the mail for a living, I'm totally okay with that. I'm totally, totally okay with that. They score, Ashley. It was an odd one. There's a goal kick. Ball comes back out from our center halves. Preciado, who Kev, you picked out in the first leg of the game. And again, he was probably the only one of their players that you looked at and was like, there's a half decent bit of quality in there. He lumps it forward and get him, Endo. He just wasn't quite quick enough. And Sparta get the goal that they probably came to see. And I would say their fans deserve, because their traveling fans were outrageous tonight. But slightly unfortunate to concede, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I think it was their very first goal at Anfield ever. So at least it gave them something to cheer, which is great. Because they were actually a very, like, the crowd was great. They were cheering the whole time. Sorry, the dog comments are...
It's great. One after the other. After
I promise
the other.
He's alive. He's just in the laundry room, which is far away on the other side of the house. Oh my gosh.
No. Hang on a minute. Ashley, you can't say. You've been in with them. They're your mates. So you know what they can be like. Oh, so
geez. No, it's fantastic. Definitely needed that mic mute button. That would have been really great to have learned about before it came on live. Thanks, guys.
We didn't know you had a dog until about 5 minutes into the show.
You know, just be glad the cat and the dog didn't come in together, because then we could have had, you know, a Madrid situation, and there it would have been fantastic.
There you go. That's how you get famous around these parts. Derek wants to know if the dog's in the washer or the dryer.
He's in a little bed in the laundry room. He's alive, I promise.
He'll be fine.
McGlinchey here says Birmančević making up for the sitter from last week.
It's a tidy goal for it as well.
Endo almost gets there, Kev. Like, he affects the shot and it just kind of dribbles painfully, past Quvín Kelleher and nestles
into it's about the only part of his game that we all know he doesn't have. He's blessed with a lot of things, and pace is not one of them. He's not the quickest, but he does his best to try to put him off, to show a bit of strength. But he is last man. He can't do any more than what he did. You know, he can't keep up with him. All he could do was try to put him off. The finish gave the keeper no chance. He hit it into the ground, and it was. It was a good finish, well taken. He's just dusted off, because the way the game was going, I think that snapped us back a bit, where we got the ball back down. Then we started playing again. We started controlling the tempo and controlling the passing. And it was almost a case of, look, you lot have had your fun now. You know, that's it. You know, don't be silly and don't be stupid. And we'll just call it a day at the result it is. Nobody wants anyone injured, and nobody wants to make anyone look stupid. But if you carry on trying to be awkward, then we'll slap you around a little bit. And, you know, I think they had their bit of fun, and that was enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unlike a lot of our games this year, regardless of the extremely positive results that we almost always end up getting, there wasn't a lot to gripe about at halftime. Not sure about you, Ashley, but I took no notes at halftime. Normally, I've got a few things, but it was just like the tie's over. Whether they scored that goal or not, they were never going to score eight. They were probably never going to score. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. They weren't ever going to score five. It was all over, and then it was like, okay, it's time for the subs to come in, because you talk about rhythm and getting minutes back into players' legs, and okay, the tie's in the bag. Let's make some changes. And we make three halftime changes, which is extremely strange. And it starts off what I think might be the five most unexpected substitutions I've ever seen. Mind-boggling. Yeah. Elliott comes on for Darwin Núñez. Okay. Tsimikas comes on for Gomez, which is just, well, that's not enough center halves on the field. And McConnell comes on for Endo, which is fine. But Robertson at center half, Ashley. That wasn't on my bingo card for today, let's just say.
No, I mean, I said earlier that I think there was a point where Gomez was trying to lift his leg, the ball was coming up behind him, and he felt something. And I know that they mentioned that they were keeping an eye on him, and I don't think that he was going to come off. That's just an assumption. I have nothing to go off of that, but I think he was an unplanned sub. I think they took him off because they didn't want to take any risks. And so I don't think the Robbo bingo card was meant to happen, but it did happen. And he was okay. You know, I mean, he plays there for Scotland. It's a little bit different. But it was weird. I was not used to it.
Yeah, it really discombobulated me, I do have to say. Not so much seeing Robbo at the left center half position, but seeing Virgil van Dijk at the right center half position, I just felt it ended up with me because, I mean, I kind of spaced out. I mean, I normally am very focused on the match and, you know, getting all my notes in order. You know, what am I going to say afterwards? And at halftime today, I sat down and had a piece of lasagna that had just come out of the oven because it was just like, this is done and dusted. But watching Virgil play on the right side, Kev, it made me wonder. It's like when you get washed over by a wave when you're in the ocean, you know, and you have that momentary thing where you're like, which way's up, which way's down? That's kind of what it felt like every time it panned to Virgil and he was in that right center half position. And it made me wonder, why don't any fish swim upside down? There's no up and down to fish. There's no up and down to fish.
There's right and wrong, though.
I mean, there is. I mean, maybe a lamprey might be considered to swim upside down, but that's a topic for a 30 on its own. I mean, Kev, the second half was processional.
Yeah, it was. It was. I think the whole game after the first 10 minutes was that, you know, genuinely, it was just one of those games that I think everyone really just wanted, just get through the game. Don't do anything stupid. Nobody get injured and just play it at a reasonable pace. And I never thought in the second half we got out of second gear. I never thought we had to. It started off perfect. You know, their coach would have turned around at halftime and said, all right, it's 4-1. Don't get embarrassed. Just go out, be solid, keep your shape. Don't concede. Sorry, yeah, Dominic Sabah's like 5-1. You know, and that's the halftime team talk of trying to stay in shape and trying to be difficult to break down out the window in 3 minutes. You know, an assist by Mo Salah, but it was a brilliant bit of skill from Szoboszlai to get into the space and get the shot off at the opposed keeper. Probably should have done better, let's be honest. But, you know, of players who needed a goal, yeah, Cody Gakpo, 100%. I think Szoboszlai did as well. Because I think of all of the players that were coming back from injury, he's not been the sharpest.
He did score in the last tie, Kev. I know we scored a lot of goals in this round of 16, but Szoboszlai did score the late fifth goal.
I know, but in fairness, it's the rest of his game. He's not there. He's not in the side to score goals. He's there is the build-up play, the link-up play, everything like that. It's like I was watching stuff in the first half, and he was trying the Hollywood passes and fizzing balls into Darwin that were just overhit and what have you. It's like, you know, run. Walk before you run. You're coming back from injury. Get back into a rhythm. And hopefully the goal will help him. But at the end of the day, this is why I looked at it. I thought he definitely looked like he needs the minutes. He needs the match happiness. It's all well and good, you know, you're training. And training is one thing. But meaningful minutes in a match is somewhat different. And I think when he joined the club, he had a brilliant first 3 months. After that, he's been all right. He's been good in patches, good in spells, but I don't think he's been at that level that he was when he joined. And it takes time. Every player takes time to settle in and what have you. But the injury, I think, couldn't have come at a worse time for him. But look, you can judge him a lot more on Sunday when he's playing against better opposition. Different type of opposition, because I think it'll bring more out of him. This today, you can't judge anyone on that. It was a training session. It was a glorified training session, really. You know, let's be honest. You beat any side over two games, 11-2. It's a training session. You know, you get what you can out of it, but you can't take it seriously. You know, you can't take a 6-1 home win against this lot as a measure of where we are as a side. It's just, you know, it was going through the motions, it felt like. I never once thought that we were pushing ourselves in any meaningful way tonight. Because we didn't have to. You know, what we were doing was
more than... And we walked out 6-1 winners.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's not a bad thing. It's not a slight or a cut off anyone. It's literally like, we were in second gear for probably all of the game, and we cruised it. And that's fine. But Sunday's a different animal. You know, last Sunday, different game.
It's a slightly different animal. I mean,
you
say it's a glorified training session, Kev. I thought it was a glorious training session. I'm just going to say, because it's who doesn't like watching goals. Actually, just on the fifth goal, real quick, I mean, because you're now fully in charge of all stats and quotations for the entire channel, did it end up going down as Sabasai's goal, or was it marked as an own goal?
I didn't see. They said that there was like a debate whether or not it was on target, and I didn't see whether it was or not. So thanks for hanging me out to dry on the stats.
Yeah, you're supposed to be prepared.
Well, I can only go off foot mob, and they're giving a Szoboszlai's goal with Salah as the assist. I'll be honest, I thought it was an own goal. I thought it was an own goal because it looked like it was going off target.
Yeah, they showed one angle kind of from behind the net, and it looked like the ball was probably going to curve and miss wide to the left. The sixth goal, though, actually did need to be changed because I had that all written down. Is that a boy, Harvey? Get on in there, but... That's a gorgeous flick from Cody Gakpo, isn't it? I mean, you alluded to it earlier, but it looked like one of those ones where the forward steals the goal from somebody else, but he did the work.
Yeah, I think Elliot thought it was his, actually, in the beginning, but I'm sure he's happy to hand it over because that was an outrageous little flick. It was kind of Bobby-esque. I love seeing that. I love seeing that fun come into their game because I don't know, that's what it's all about. It's about them having fun. If they're that far ahead in a game, they might as well try the party tricks. And there were a few of them throughout the game. There were some pretty outrageous little nutmegs. I mean, there was one by Mo Salah on the sideline that was like a behind the back nutmeg that, I mean, it was outrageous. So I'm happy to see them do that.
Yeah, and it's I couldn't help but notice, I believe Bobby Clark had one, and James McConnell had a little no-look pass, you know, just a simple like 5-6 yard pass that doesn't need to have that flair put on it. But you can tell that, like, it might be my favorite Jurgen Kloppism of that we're in a good moment of, like, we're bringing all these young kids onto the pitch. They're not looking out of place. We're able to start a guy like Bobby Clark, who non-Liverpool fans, I don't know if a single one of them would have ever heard of Bobby Clark before this season. And you'd be hard pressed to find a lot of Liverpool fans that would have been able to tell you a whole lot about Bobby Clark. I certainly couldn't have before the preseason. You know, you see him come on that preseason tour, but who was on it last season? Isaac Mbaya? You know, these names come and go all the time. But I mean, Bobby Clark, he just fits in seamlessly. We don't even really need to mention Kwanzaa and Bradley in that vein anymore because they're just fully integrated in the team. So when you get to the point where you're able to give James McConnell continued runouts, Bobby Clark 4 starts in a season, and it doesn't disrupt the rhythm or anything like that. And then, I mean, the 66th minute, just before the Virgil van Dijk substitution, Kwanzaa gets a yellow card. I thought it was soft. We get a free kick, Kev. Connor Bradley goes to take it quickly, and it's the worst thing I've seen Connor Bradley do for Liverpool, and he scored an own goal in the last tie. He just kicks it right to them. And then Jarrell Kwanzaa throws in 2, I thought, fantastic tackles, and he gets pulled up on the yellow card for it. And apparently Jurgen Klopp and I are in agreement on this one because Jurgen went bonkers.
He did, but it's the difference between European games and Premier League games. European referees referee a different way. Certain things you can't do. And even, lo and behold, winning the ball isn't a defense. Who the fuck knew? It was, he went in, his studs were up. His studs were high. He won the ball, but it's just the motion in itself in Europe will get you a foul. That in Europe, that's a foul all day, every day, twice a Sunday. And Klopp got booked because he couldn't believe that the fourth official didn't tell the referee, I want to make a sub. But
oh, is that what it was?
That's what it was, yeah. Klopp wanted to make the sub. That's why he shouted at the fourth official after. Klopp had told the fourth, they were bringing Virgil on, so we got the free kick. And instead of the fourth official stopping the game and allowing for the substitution to be made, we took the quick free kick. The referee just let the players play, which is, in fairness, is what you know. Klopp has always said to him, if you see the opportunity to take a free kick, take the free kick. And the ref let them take the free kick quickly. You know, and then Jurgen lost the plot over it. So at the end of the day, there's fault all round on it. But ultimately, look, get that frustration out of your system now, not when there's a potential touchline ban if you do that in the Premier League for the next few weeks.
Yeah, so it looked like on my broadcast through DAZN, which, by the way, DAZN, I subscribe to your service to watch live sports. So when I'm switching between sports streams, don't show me 3 fucking minutes of advertisements when I'm trying to catch the end of the Leverkusen game after our game finishes. That's not how live sports works. It's ridiculous. But they showed the referee come over to Klopp, and it looked like he said, "Please stop." And Klopp just kept going. He's like,
It was hilarious because he was like, the ref was trying to be, look, I know you're Jurgen Klopp. Please stop. You know, calm down, take a breath. Inhale, exhale through the mouth. I have to book you now. I am so, so sorry for this. Please, I'm so sorry. But it looked like that in the end. It was like, that you've put me in this situation. I've got no choice. There's a guy in the stands. He's going to be marking me. I've got to do this. It's like, Jurgen deserved it because at the end of the day, he lost the plot completely over something that it didn't need to.
But in a game at this point, is it 6-1 at this point? Yeah, it's 6-1.
But you love him for it at the same time because it just shows in the moment, he just saw something that he completely disagreed with, lost the head altogether, and then reined himself in pretty quickly. You know, it was just a moment of madness. And I don't care.
He went and sat down in the dugout after that and was like, I'm in timeout.
He was in the naughty seat. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I really look like an asshole there. I shouldn't have done that.
Exactly. We make our final two substitutions. Virgil van Dijk comes on for Jarrell Kwanzaa, as we mentioned earlier. On my broadcast, they made it seem like Virgil went over to Klopp and was like, "I'm coming on the pitch." I don't know if that's the case at all, because that was a strange one to me. But Jarrell Kwanzaa, strangely for a guy who a lot of people wouldn't have heard of before this season, has played a lot of minutes recently. So could probably do with even just having the 20-25 minutes worth of rest. And then for me, Ashley, the highlight of the night, finally making his debut for Liverpool, the Polish Messi finally gets to take his first bow. And I thought, certainly he's coming on for Mo Salah. Nope, it's Bobby Clark he comes on for. Good for the kid.
He was supposed to come on for Salah. I think if Clark hadn't gotten injured, he probably would have come on for Salah. But I'm glad to see him get minutes. I mean, I don't think we were ever going to see it. And I mean, I looked up a few stats before I came, and one of the ones that really stood out was he's the 90th player to make their senior debut under Klopp. And he's also the 56th under the age of 20. So there's so many young kids that are getting their chance under Klopp. And it's just such a wonderful thing to see. And I hope that we continue to see that as whoever comes in, because that's an amazing legacy.
And a dynamite quiz question right there. Name all 56 under 20 age players that made their debut under Klopp.
You can put that on your really, really hard quiz that nobody wants to do.
Martin says C-Match, she's prepared. I had no doubt that Ashley was coming into this prepared. Pages and pages of notes. That's how we do things over here in what you call the colonies.
Yeah, I ain't got no notes.
There's two of us there for it. We did a little bit of rejigging. It seemed like Szoboszlai stayed on the right side. Elliot went out, played a little bit of left wing, a little bit of left eight. It didn't really kind of matter. Their keeper makes another decent save on 77 minutes. Their keeper makes a fantastic save on 83 minutes. Harvey Elliott probably had every right to go down in the box. He's getting absolutely tugged back as he goes into the Sparta Prague box. He continues on with it. Their keeper makes another really good save. 90th minute, we have a counter. Mo Salah absolutely goes happy feet in the box. Gakpo can't time his run quite well enough. And then it finishes with Dominic Szoboszlai almost doing a repeat of what he did at the very end of the first tie, getting the ball, just running straight down the middle. Straight down the middle of the field. Fantastic ball, slots it over to Gakpo. Shot saved, comes out to Salah. Rebounds block. It's game over. And we're all through. It was fun. It was fun. That's mean from the Glinchies. Now expecting you to name all 56.
No, I can't. Sorry.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Kev, you said it before we came on air that it's going to be tough to do, but sorry, I'm going to have to come for you anyways. Who is your man of the match?
You know, I don't like giving man of the match to someone who doesn't complete 90 minutes.
Yep.
But there is an argument to say there is a man of both halves. I'd have to give it to Salah. You just have to. And I don't think he played anywhere near where he's capable of. But he picked out 3 assists. He led the press in the first half. He was pretty relentless in what was essentially a done deal tie. You know, the tie was over. And he didn't give a shit. He just kept going and going and going. And in that first 20 minutes of the first half, we were absolutely ruthless. You know, in the bloodiest sense of the word, we were ruthless. In the best sense of the word, we were ruthless. I loved it. I absolutely loved that. In that relentless pursuit of pressure that we just kept going and going and going. I loved it. I loved that part of it. And that comes from, you know, you can't coach that. You have to have that in you to want to do that. And bear in mind, he's coming back off a hamstring injury, first start in months. And if there was any doubt that he might not be back, to his he'll get there. It won't take him long. And the fact that he got 90 minutes under his belt will give him the world of confidence, especially going into Sunday. I'd have to give it to Salah. I mean, first half.
I mean, you said you weren't going to, Kev, before the show, but I know,
but you have to. You kind of do, because, I mean, there are other players who played really well, you know, and you guys can chat about them all. There are other players, and I don't think anyone was exceptional. I don't think anyone put their hand up and was saying, look, I'm the best player on the pitch by a country mile. But there was no one on the pitch that had a stinker. No one was below par. Everyone played well. You don't score that many goals not playing well. You do. So you just have to, he just keeps putting up the numbers. He doesn't stop. Plus the fact he got a record.
Goal and 3 assists. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's like 7 seasons on the bounce, he's got over 20 goals. 7. That is ridiculous. For a one-season wonder who was a Chelsea reject, who we got from Italy because he put loads of crosses in for Edin Dzeko, he's a joke of a player. I mean, Suarez is a legend and what have you, but Mo Salah is head and shoulders above anyone. He's head and shoulders above any forward I've seen playing for Liverpool. He doesn't stop.
It feels like he's coming back and he's got a bit of the proverbial bee in his bonnet. So, yeah, just to put everybody else in the league on notice that we survived the period without Mo Salah and half of the other first choice 11. Yeah. And
one other thing as well, it's Ramadan. So he would have been fasting through daylight hours. So,
I mean, it looked like he was feasting tonight, well. Kev. So, I mean,
that's... Oh, he had his supper tonight. Make no mistake.
What I did there is add that E in there. Ashley, who did you like for man of the match?
I mean, I know he didn't play the full 90, but I liked Clark. I just thought he fit so seamlessly into our senior players. He didn't look like, you know, he was just coming in for one of his first starts. He didn't look like this was a big deal for him. He looked silky and he was looking for space and he was finding it. And I mean, you guys said in the beginning that he has like a whiff of Lallana about him. And I agree, you know, he's silky and he looks like he can play at this level. And I, you know, the announcers on my stream said that as well, where they were like, yeah, he's at this level. And I think that he stands above a couple of the other Academy products in that way. And I know he's been kind of put into the first team for quite a while. I mean, his father said that he moved into the first team dressing room quite a few months ago, and you can see it. Like, you can see that he's comfortable and that, you know, he knows what these players are doing and where they're going to be on the pitch, and that he's tactically aware as well.
Yeah, it's from the chat, Garmack, Harvey Elliott continues to be exceptional, and I don't know if I saved it. Somebody early on just said, like, what an engine this kid has on him, and Gavin and I touched on it this morning on the 30 that, you know, he's pretty much played 90 minutes in every match we've had for weeks now, and he just keeps going again and again and again. And it's just something about, there's one thing about being a local lad. I'm not from Liverpool, so I don't have quite that same, like, oh, you know, he's one of us sort of thing. But Harvey Elliott is a fan of Liverpool, and I'm one of them. And so there's something about how much he just loves playing for Liverpool that really, really gets me. I think you two took my first two candidates, so I'm going to give two honorary mentions. Darwin Núñez, not for his goal, not for his pressing, but in the 17th minute, after it's already 4-0, Darwin Núñez sprints like 45 yards to help out Andy Robertson at the corner of our box, putting in a tackle, and he's whipping the crowd up, and he's absolutely, he's percolating. He's just right there. He's ready to just, it feels like he's ready to just pop. And one of these games, he's going to have that statement game where he's on all the sports pages and everybody's going to be talking about him. And then another shout out in the second half, Brian O'Halloran made me think of this. He says, with VVD, it's like watching fully grown man versus kids. He's so much better than most of the attackers. It's ridiculous. He's barely trying. There was a point at, I believe it was 7 minutes and 30 seconds, that they put a ball down our right-hand channel, and their forward started to run for it, and Virgil, like, the ball was always going to run to Kelleher, and Virgil just looked at their forward, and it was, to me, I read that statement in his eyes as, don't you fucking dare make me run. Don't you dare make me, and the guy just stopped, because Virgil had beat him to a ball a few moments earlier to that, and yeah, it's like what Brian says, like, it's just a different level, and it's exactly the same as Mo Salah. That every one of these Europa League games he's come on in, like the first one is what, away at Union Saint-Gilloise, right? And he comes on late and he makes that dance in the box and he tucks the ball in between the goalkeeper's legs. And it's just, he's too good to be playing Europa League. And like I said it into the WhatsApp group a few minutes before the end of the game, maybe at halftime, of like, is it too late for UEFA to just switch out the Borussia Dortmund ball and the Liverpool ball? And just, they can play in the Europa League and just put us into the Champions League, because we looked an absolute class above tonight. Now we're going to get on to my favorite part of the show, and I can't wait, because Ashley's going to read her own Jurgen Klopp quotes live, which is just going to be an absolute delight for me. But before we get to that, thank you everybody for joining us. We've got a couple hundred people in here watching. Please hit the like button for us so we know how many people were in here. Leave your comments afterwards. Obviously, get involved with the chat if you're not. Become a member of the channel, because another absolute ding-dong episode of The Greatest last night that went out live for members only. A pretty decent episode, I would say, this morning of the 30, with Gav and myself joining him, reading through the lyrics of Bike by Pink Floyd, which is just the most insane acid fever dream of a nursery rhyme you will ever possibly hear. But that's the sort of goodies you get for €3.99 a month, becoming a member of the Talking Cop channel and helping support everything that we're doing here for it. But the biggest thing is, of course, and let me just punt Brian's comment off of the screen so everybody can see it. Our 2024 fundraising partner, Fan Supporting Food Banks, the Lighthouse Cafe in Dublin, two organizations doing absolutely fantastic work, trying to make sure that people have hot meals to eat, being able to put foods in their bellies, feed their kids and all those good things. We're trying to raise 10K for them. You'll always find the link in any of the show descriptions, whether it's on YouTube or on your podcast apps, on any of the Talking Cop social media channels. You will always find that pinned to the top there. If you can help us out with the donation, please and thank you. It will go to these very good causes, and they will be very, very happy for it, because they stretch their dollars in a way that you cannot understand. And if you can't donate, share it along to your social media accounts. Let other people know. Lots of people are happy to donate to good causes like this. You will also find the link for Phil Casey, who is the resident sports bully on the Talking Cop channel. He's doing his Quest 5 for 5 challenge, where he's doing 5 endurance races, trying to raise 5,000 euros for the Laura Lynn Hospice, which is Ireland's only children's hospice. He's a good friend of the show and quite a hilarious, hilarious contributor. And also, again, a bully. Kev knows what I'm talking about. He doesn't like Ayrton Senna. He doesn't like baseball and hockey. We got absolutely railroaded out of our greatest conversations, but he is doing an extreme amount of work raising money for an extremely good cause. So we would appreciate it if you could help out with them. And the final piece of housekeeping before we get on to the quotes is footballprizes.co.uk has another new prize out. It is a midfielder extravaganza. They have an Alexis McAllister signed framed LED lit up jersey. That is the main prize. There's, I believe, 25 or 24 instant win prizes. You've got all midfielder jerseys. You got Gerrard in there. You've got Fabinho. You've got Gary McAllister. So a pair of McAllisters available. Everything to like about that. So check out footballprizes.co.uk. Tickets are under 5 euros a pop. They only sell a couple hundred of them. So your odds are in your favor, very much like the Hunger Games. It's all well and good and help support the channel. We're getting on to it. I've given you time to psych yourself up now, Ashley. I'm going to run through them in the order you put them up, and hopefully I haven't missed any. But what did Jurgen have to say tonight, Ashley?
So on Mo, he said that he was a very experienced player, but I think it's the first time I've ever told a player to just stop defending. And on Kostas Tsimikas, he said, he's fine. Bobby, I hope all is well. He felt something. It was intense for the boy, and he was running around like crazy.
Red Steve abuses the emoji button. So it's stop that now. Stop that.
On Bobby Clark, he said he played incredible. He won the ball back for another. He is the one I'm worrying about a little bit. I wanted to take Mo off, but he said he felt something around the ankle, and he's referring to Bobby, not Mo, in that quote. On Musialowski, he said, I really think he's now ready. That's why he got the time. We had a choice between a few, and I thought, give him these few minutes. He waited long enough. Another great kid.
And to wrap it up.
He said, I'm really happy. That's how we have to take it. We don't want to get through somehow. It's up to us to decide how good we want to be.
There you go. I mean, it seems like the boys have decided that they want to be quite good. Red Steve is upset. You sound nothing like your club. Very good pronunciation of Musialowski, though. That's
the pressure's on there. I had a moment.
It was like those first shows after we signed Szoboszlai when you're Googling, how do I pronounce S-Z-O-B-O-S-Z-L-A-I? Eventually,
you won't pronounce it. Spell it, for God's sake.
Yeah, we've got a
get it into predictive text.
Still can't get it right.
Yeah,
we've got a hell of a Scrabble team. I mean, now there's two pressing questions going forward before we hit the absolutely dreaded international break, which at this point actually will be very appreciated. Just allows to get hopefully a few more bodies back into the team, but. We got the draw tomorrow morning for the next round of the Champions League, which who cares about? And most importantly, the Europa League. Here are our potential opponents that we could draw in the next round. Ashley, you got anybody you'd like to see Liverpool play? Anybody you hope we avoid?
Not Roma. Like anyone else except Roma. I don't really want to play West Ham, but I feel like we can beat them. I'm okay with that. It's short travel. But yeah, not Roma.
Kev, what about you?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I wouldn't want AC Milan. I don't know why, because I don't think any of these sides are outstanding in any way. I think Leverkusen was probably the hardest draw. Matter what struggles they had against Karabakh over those two legs, what they're doing in the Bundesliga is a joke. You know, it's ridiculous. It's unheard of. Even Bayern in their pomp haven't been able to do what Leverkusen are doing. So credit to them for that. Ideally, you just want the shortest travel possible. If it's West Ham, that's fine. I've no problem with that. I'm not a massive fan of all England clashes, but it's not an all England clash against like a Manchester United or an Arsenal or a Chelsea. You know, and no disrespect to West Ham.
It doesn't have the same venom or
no, but they had a good win tonight. I mean, at the end of the day, I watched Freiburg against Borussia Dortmund a few weeks ago, and I thought Freiburg were really decent. They were really good in that on the day. And they, 1-0 up going into tonight, Freiburg. Yeah. So for West Ham to turn that around 5-0, that's some good going. And Kudus is one that I've liked for a while. He's a good player. Jared Bowen, good player. There's some good stuff. I mean, Benfica, you know, Darwin Nunes derby. You know,
yeah, that's Tarek S says that he wants Benfica for the return of Darwin Nunes, whereas Super Dizzle with the exact opposite opinion, no to Benfica. I mean, I think the one you want to avoid, but I mean, then the question comes up here at who said it? Chat's flying through here. Is Morton saying wants Leverkusen? Let's get them over two legs. And I mean, Ashley, I don't know how much of the Leverkusen you paid attention to. I've caught probably a half a dozen or so games this year. I don't know if I have enough evidence to say whether we'd be better off against them in one or two legs, or the flip side of it, would they be better against us? Because I think if we meet Leverkusen, whether it's in two legs or in the final, I think we're going into it favorites. But would you have a preference of...
I mean, I'm sure that the Sky would have a preference. I'm sure that they would like to see us face off in the final because it really is, you know, narrative versus narrative. You know, it's two kind of Cinderella stories. If they were both, like, if we were to get there and they were to get there, and then you have the Klopp, you know, versus Alonso final. And I mean, that's what they want to see. I don't know if there's any sort of benefit. I would back us to kick them out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, I don't know if it matters. Like, for me, I don't think it matters because I look at all the teams that are there and there's really nobody that I'm like, ooh, that's scary. Well, like, it doesn't have that bogey factor, Kev, like Real Madrid has.
No. The one thing I'd say is that we're going into that draw tomorrow and absolutely nobody wants to play us.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
it's as simple as that. And I don't really care who we draw, to be honest. None of them are massive travels, you know, for Karabakh could have been a problem. You know what I mean? That is a hell of a trek. But everyone who's left is pretty close. It won't faze any of the players for a couple of hour flights. That won't bother them. I'd rather play Bayer Leverkusen over two legs. Yeah. Because look, I think they'd be incredible games, be incredible atmosphere for both games. But I think over the two legs, we'd work them out. And I think the confidence you can, because they are the best side left in it. Milan, I think, because of the history of the club, the European tradition of the club, could be an issue. I mean, you got to look at it as well. You look, Brighton got one tonight, but got knocked out on, what did they get?
4-1.
Against Roma 4-1. A lot of that, and you saw it last night as well. You know, sides without European, without his experience of playing in Europe. And I thought Arsenal on Tuesday night, you know, they got through by the skin of their teeth, but it's a lack of experience in Europe is, you know, showed up. I mean, Brighton won on the night, but you can't go away and play the same as you do at home in Europe. It's completely different football. Playing knockout football over two legs is completely different, and it's experience. That's what it, that's all it is. But look, I'm looking forward to it. I think the draw is at midday our time tomorrow.
So yeah, I think the Champions League goes off at 11, Europa League at 12, yeah. And then they might do the Conference League by email blast or something like that later.
Well, Villa got through well. Villa beat Ajax 4-0, so it's looking good for. Well, yeah, Ollie Watkins.
Yeah,
Ollie Watkins is massive for them. Yeah, and apparently it was a big gash. It was a nasty looking injury by
Ollie. Family Channel, Kev.
But it's American slang. It's horrible stuff. But it's looking good for English clubs to potentially get five Champions League places on the strength of the results of the English clubs in Europe so far. That it might be enough of a push to make, you know, to give size, especially Spurs, when you look at it. If Spurs are going to get into the Champions League spots this season, it'll put an awful lot of pressure on their games against Arsenal and Man City.
Yeah.
So, you know, All little bring things.
Yeah. I mean, Sam Tandy's predicting that the Champions League draw, that Man City is going to draw Real Madrid and Arsenal's going to get Atletico Madrid. Then the winners will play each other in a semifinal. I mean, that might be wishful thinking, but
I'm all over that.
Let's all go ahead and wish for it. And I mean, finally, Richard Lefebvre, because I'm not entirely sure if any of us will get a chance to do any sort of pre-match build-up for the big St. Paddy's Day showdown, but Richard Lefebvre has a Sunday lineup of Kelleher, Bradley Konaté, Van Dijk, Robertson, Endo, McAllister, Szoboszlai, Mo Salah, Darwin Núñez, and Luis Lucho Diaz. Solid. I mean, Ashley, anything to disagree with that lineup? That's pretty juicy, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think Konaté is probably the only one that I'm not quite sure on. I mean, I don't think Kwanzaa did his chances any harm. I'd be fine with him starting, which is remarkable to say, just given his journey. I mean, the rest of them, I mean, I think Rabo Tsimikas, you could probably go either way.
No, come on. Don't quit being nice to him. I know it's your first day, but come on. There's levels between these left backs.
I know. I'm just trying to piss Chris off. it's Rabo. I think that's probably fair. I mean, Gakpo did his chances no harm. Elliot could easily get in there. I think, you know, those are great super subs. So I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, it's Sam Tanney kind of saying the same thing. Think Elliot might start ahead of Szoboszlai, as it could go to extra time. You can bring Szoboszlai on for the penalties. Dan Austin, though, comes back with saying Elliot needs a rest. I mean, Kev, what are your thoughts on that, on Richard's lineup?
I think the only issue is Konaté. The fact that the training stuff came out the other day and he was just running on his own. If he's not involved in ball, because tomorrow, all the players tomorrow is just going to be a recovery day. Saturday will be a light training session and preparation for Sunday. It's a really quick turnaround. So they've had a week to prepare for it. We know pretty much what they're going to do. It doesn't matter that it's at Old Trafford. They'll do exactly the same as what they did against Man City. They'll try to park the bus, try to play for a counter-attack, and hope to hold on, you know. The issue is Ibu Konaté. Is he fit? He's been picked in the France squad, so you'd think that Deschamps would have been in contact with the club to say, is this knock going to affect him potentially for that? Because I think the club would have pulled him if he was a doubt. So I think he's probably going to be available. But whether he'd be available to start, I don't know. We'll see. I hope he is, because I don't think Højlund will play. I don't think Højlund will be available. So, yeah, I just want to go. Above all games, I don't know personally a single solitary Manchester City fan. So I'm not going to go to work on, well, it's a bank holiday for us over here on the Monday, but I'm not going to go to work on a Tuesday if we lose to Man City in the league and have anyone try to rub me up. You know, it's not going to happen. If I go into work after losing to Manchester United in the FA Cup, yeah, Tuesday's not going to be a very nice day, you know, and I don't really want to go to work on those not very nice days. It's been a long time since I've had to go to work on a very, not a very nice day.
Yeah, you haven't really experienced many of those. It's been a while.
Exactly, and I want to keep that going if at all possible. So, yeah, I don't care how we do it. Just go and smash them, to be honest.
There you go. Madge Apple saying, Quveen, Connor, and Maka on Paddy's Day, we should win. Sam Tandy, though, saying, I think Kwanzaa coming off might mean that he might start again with Van Dijk, which is a pretty decent shout. And I think the best comment of the night, Andrew Denright here, round of applause for Ashley making her debut. Yep.
Congratulations. Well done. Ashley. Well done.
Well Brilliant. Done. See, it's not that bad. You just have one slight thing happen out of your control in the background and the chat just snowballs with it for 45 minutes making. Completely.
I mean, no blood was spilled, so that's a positive.
It was a clean kill.
Not that we know
it was a clean kill. I can respect that. Yeah, I can respect that. But yeah, it finished about as you would have expected at Anfield. Liverpool romped to an 11-2 aggregate win over Sparta Prague, running out 6-1 winners. Doesn't really seem like we've picked up any serious injuries from it. We got some minutes back in legs and all those other cliches, and it's just on to the next one. FA Cup quarterfinal against Manchester United on St. Patrick's Day. You couldn't ask for a whole lot more, because then we got two whole weeks off without any football after that. But Ashley, anything before we go? Final remarks on your first time doing this?
The dog is alive, I swear. But thanks, everyone. Thank you for, you know, being supportive in the chat, and for you guys for inviting me on here. It was fun. It was nerve-wracking, but I had a good time.
This guy's Pete is a bastard, saying Ashley's bringing the average age down and the IQ up. Thank you, guys. That's why you're not allowed on Scouser Pete, because he's old and dumb. Kev, anything else before we get out of here?
Nah, you just insulted the chat. That's all on you now. No, all good.
Bring it.
Please check the links in the description for the charity and for Phil stuff and the prizes and all that stuff. Just click on the link. If you can donate, great. If you can't, just copy the link, paste it into your WhatsApp group, and just press send. Yeah. Do the same on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you're on. And if you're just do us that one solid. That's all, you know, just do us that. And enjoy St. Patrick's Day and look forward to Sunday.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you got 4 extra euros kicking around, I would get just a 1 month membership to the Talking Cop, because I think next week's final episode of The Greatest is going to descend into an absolute slobber knocker at parts. And Monday night's episode of Phil Casey's Young Lad Asking Gav Questions could be one for the ages. So you're going to want to get involved with that. But thank you for getting involved with us. If you're listening afterwards, give us a 5-star rating on your podcast app. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out, everybody. But the main thing is, the Reds just keep marching on. We go into the draw for the quarterfinals of the Europa League. Thank you very much, Ashley. Thank you again, as always, Mr. O'Sullivan. I've been your host, Matt. We've been the Talking Cop. See you after the next game.
Sports Social Podcast Network.